Take your Bibles once again and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. What kind of began as just an idea of trying to help Christians and help people understand the wiles of the devil has kind of morphed into a theme of sorts for me as I just can't get away from it. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to read again here in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10, and we will read responsively. You will read with me on the even verses, and I will read the odd verses by myself here in verses 10 through 20, beginning in verse 10 altogether in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, here we are looking at these things in Ephesians chapter 6. And, you know, as we take a look at this admonition of Paul, the church at Ephesus was a good church, folks. Just go read the commendations that Christ gives to it in Revelation. Now, they didn't have one thing that they kind of struggled with. You understand that. And that's not the message today. But they were a good church. Paul loved this church. Actually, if you look at history, one of Paul's prize pupils became the pastor of this church. Timothy was the pastor of the church here at Ephesus for some time. Now, you understand that Paul loved these people. He wanted them to persevere. And certainly they did to much of the extent of their time here in this period of history. But he tells them, and he's kind of closing this letter. And I would encourage you to go back and reread Ephesians chapters 1 through 5, and even the first part of chapter 6. And just kind of get the heart of Paul for these people. We need this kind of encouragement in our lives today. You know, God loves us. God loves Lighthouse Baptist Church. I don't have time to go through the heritage of this church. All the details, but bits and pieces you've kind of gathered. Maybe if you're new here, maybe if you've been here all the years that this church has been in existence. And folks, don't forget, coming up soon, we've got an anniversary coming. Yes, I did not forget. Hallelujah. Okay, I remember. I try to remember anniversaries. Thank God I've not forgotten one of my personal anniversaries over there. Isn't that nice of me not to do that for 19 years? It's 19, right? It is. But you know what? We have a lot to be thankful for. And listen, I don't come in here as, if you will, a new pastor ignoring those things. I'm very grateful and very thankful for the sweat, the blood, the tears, the difficulties, the sacrifices, the time invested. And listen, Pastor Raspberry is a personal friend of mine. I love that he was willing to follow God's will and come up here and start this church and work here in this community, in this area for Christ for 20 years. And I can tell you, I don't know from firsthand experience, but I know from his testimony that it wasn't always easy. Actually, it was mostly not easy. But God loves this church. God wants to see this church to flourish and to abound in this community. And guess what? I want to see that too. And I know that you want to see that too. And we can, if we will pay attention to these admonishments in Scripture. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, and folks, not to be irreverent, but why don't you just say, hey, to the church at Lighthouse in Wiley, to the church at Wiley, finally, my brethren, this is for us. Go ahead and insert our name there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The last couple of Sundays, we've talked about these things. The wiles of the devils, of the devil. And all the things that he's about. The devices that he uses. The tools of his trade that he tries to get Christians to succumb to. To squelch the power we have in Christ. Folks, he wants nothing more than to take his big old nasty foot and place it squarely on your neck and press you hard to the ground. That's what his desire is. He doesn't want you moving for Christ. He doesn't want you going forward in battle. He wants nothing more than to stop you from spreading the gospel to every creature as we should. He wants to shut down Lighthouse Baptist Church. He wants to turn off the light so it doesn't shine into this community. He wants to take a bushel basket and place it right over the top of us and keep us hid from the rest of the world. That's what he's trying to do. And he's going to use his wiles, his devices to accomplish that. And guess what? He's going to sit back in his sniper's nest and he's going to pick us off. One by one, if we're not careful. And he's going to shoot those fiery darts at us. That's why we're admonished. And I'm going to take this personally today, and I hope you do too. That's why we're being admonished by the Apostle Paul. We, Lighthouse Baptist Church in 2022, we are being admonished by the Apostle Paul to be strong in the Lord. We talked about this last week. To be strong in the power of his might. And to put on the whole armor of God. It's been made available to us, but we got to take and go ahead and put it on. Put it on. Put it on. Put it on. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. You see, folks, why do we need to do this? Because verse 12 exists is why we need to do this. Why we need to be strong in the Lord. Why we need to listen to the admonishments of the Apostle Paul. Why we need to be strong in the power of his might. Why we need to put on the whole armor of God. We know the devil is out to get us. But he's not doing this alone. When Satan said to God, I will be like the Most High. When iniquity was found in him, he didn't just leave heaven quietly, folks. Did you study Scripture? You know what he did? He recruited a third of the angels to go with him. He's a convincer, isn't he? He's got some clout. And guess what? All those creatures now are not in heaven. You know where they are. They're here. You say, what? We don't believe in aliens. Well, depends on what you call an alien. I mean, I believe in me. I might be an alien. No, I'm not. Birth certificate. It's got a stamp on it. Harvey, North Dakota. Now listen. The devil's not an omnipresent, omnipotent being like God is. He needs help. And he's recruited help. I'm really tempted to say there's a picture of a certain lady in Washington, D.C. that could be one of the top chiefs of the... But, hold on. Yeah, go ahead. Anyways. Oh, that woman. Anyways, don't get me. I don't want to get political today. But listen to me. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, today I just want to very clearly show to you the real threat that there is. This is not a fairy tale. And this is really even beyond just the wiles of the devil. He has taught these practices to others. You know, in Scripture, we're admonished to take the truth of the Word of God and disciple people and teach it to others, and so that they may be able to teach others also. It's a great method. Do you know that the devil knows that method too? But he's going to take his lies and his deceit and his untruth and teach it to others and pass it on. And folks, it's an art form. And it's being passed on. You know, there are other religions that talk about us indoctrinating our children, which I'm for that. I'm for teaching them the truth of the Word of God and telling them it's truth. Just as much as these others that are teaching lies, telling them, you know, that they say it's truth, but it's not. But you know what? Other groups do that too, don't they? I'm for brainwashing, by the way. Did you know that? Our brains are dirty. They need to be cleaned. And how they can be cleaned? By the washing of the water by the Word. Amen? That's how they get clean, right there. Now, you understand that we have a great host of enemies. And I'm not doing this so much to scare you. I'm doing this so much to help you understand the urgency and the importance of what Paul says by, finally, my brethren, put on the whole armor of God. He encourages us that this is something that we must do. When we take a look at Scripture, and these, if you want to call them invisible enemies, you say, but the ones that are against us, they are flesh and blood. Well, okay, the actual individuals are. But the ideology is supernatural. It is. Who's behind all this? Well, the devil. And the host that followed him out of heaven. You know, I don't know. The Scripture really doesn't tell us the number of angels that God created. Anybody here know? But whatever it is, a third of them fell away with Lucifer. And the Bible calls them the stars of heaven. In the passage it talks about the third of the stars going with Lucifer. That's the prophecy and the things that are historical account there is told. Anybody count the stars lately? Lots of stars. Right? Another thing that's kind of likened to the stars, wasn't he told about his seed that it'd be as the stars, the sand, the sea, I mean, all that? How many Israelite, Jewish, Hebrew type people are there? Have there been? Lots. So just take that number, whatever it might be. Millions? Tens of millions? Divided by three. That's how many demons, devils, evil creatures, fallen angels, whatever you want, that are working with the devil. You suppose I like playing strategy games. Anybody like playing strategy games? You know, like Risk and things like that. Okay, strategy games is fun. Do you suppose that the devil, he got kicked out of heaven and it kind of came down to this earth here and he just kind of took all those guys and said, guys, we're just going to kind of huddle here in Antarctica. And we're just going to stay here and you know, we're going to rule the penguins and you know, we're going to mess with them and all that kind of stuff. And we're going to have snowball fights and snow cones and you know, make ice cream and you know. I think the devil's a strategist. In fact, I know he is. And you know what? He's going to take key individuals in his army, and he's going to place them in key spots. You know, as I play strategy games, that's what I like to do. I like to take key individuals and put them in key spots and have points of attack and counterattack and defense. And well, I'm going to set up the board. So anybody that likes to play, I love a challenge. Okay? Hallelujah. Great, John. Let's go. All right. But you think the devil's just laying back, not going to do anything? Paul says to the church, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, folks, we're really not fighting against, you know, mayor so-and-so and governor so-and-so or president so-and-so or the, you know, the at the time... you know, this of these writings, you know, we're not fighting against this Caesar or that Caesar or this group. No, it's not about those particular countries and those particular positions, but rather the spiritual forces behind them. I've mentioned before to you the people that we have in our government today. Many of them do not know Christ as their Savior. You know what would revolutionize things in this world? To see those leaders get saved. Hey, let me ask you about this guy named Joseph. You all heard of him? Where was he at? Egypt. Who rules over Egypt? Pharaoh. Anybody study Egyptian culture? Wicked. Uber wicked. You do Uber, right? Not the drivers, the, you know, like more than. Okay? Super wicked, right? The pharaohs themselves believed they were gods and were worshipped as such. You understand that, right? All these things. And when they died, they actually buried their servants alive with them to serve them in the afterlife. No, for real, they did. I mean, I like history, okay? I study history. That was common. Okay, that's how much they thought of themselves, if you will. And their words were as gods, right? You understand that. That's how these kings and people thought. Look at the effect that Joseph had on this man. By following after God, by being a good testimony. Boy, Joseph's testimony was spot on, folks. You think Joseph was girded about by the whole armor of God? Absolutely, I do. You know what he did? He stood against the wiles of the devil. He wrestled with the spiritual wickedness in high places, and guess what? He won. What did Pharaoh have to say about Joseph's God? Lots of good things. Hey, remember a guy named Daniel? Just a Hebrew boy. Captive. Slave. I know we hate that word today, but it's a real word, unfortunately. He was a slave. Brought in to serve in the king's household. How did the king respond to Daniel? Quite favorably. Oh, hey, after the king learned about his law that he was tricked into signing was going to affect one of his prized servants, what did he do? He stayed up all night. And in the morning he ran there and said, Daniel, has your God delivered you? Oh, Darius, whatever you want to call him. I know there's different pronunciations for his name. I prefer Darius. I think he ended up believing in God. We've been studying about Nehemiah, right? We're going to have another lesson tonight. How did Nehemiah do with Artaxerxes? Yeah, did well. Folks, it's not impossible. Our leaders can be turned to the right side. Their hearts can be changed, just like your heart was changed through Jesus Christ. You understand, we are wrestling against an enemy. And it is a vast enemy. But I'm not saying that to discourage you. I'm not saying that to depress you today. I'm saying that to rally the troops of God to go forward for Christ. Paul said, hey guys, wait, finally my brethren, he says, listen, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He wasn't trying to paint this impossible, gruesome scene of never being able to win. He's just saying, hey, we got to get it in gear. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. We've got to be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of His might. Hey, guys, I'm ringing the bell. It's time to go forward to battle. The darkness, the wickedness is vast. That's why we, more now than ever, we've got to go in and pierce through that darkness. That was the call. And that's the admonishment. And folks, listen to me. We live in a great time. A great time of opportunity. These are the last days. You understand that? I mean, I can smell the day of the Lord coming. Can't you? I mean, it's here. It's on the cusp. Everything in Scripture has been fulfilled that's necessary for the Lord to return. It's here. And now, more than ever, we've got to push forward for Christ than we have before. This church needs to rise up. This church needs to be strong in the Lord and in the power of its might. This church needs to put on the whole armor of God. And this church needs to wrestle against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you know what it means to wrestle? I know down here it's wrestle, right? It's not wrestle. Last I checked in the spelling of it, there's no A. But there's an E. E says eh. As in wrestle. All right. Okay. Now listen to me. It means to struggle. To strive. To contend. Is that active or passive? Active. Active. Do you know, and I'm not condemning anybody here in this place today. But if I am, I am. And if I'm not, I'm not. Most Christians are content to just sit. Most Christians are just content to let things be. I'm good. I don't want to cause a scene. I don't want to bring any undue stress to my life and difficulty. I'm just going to, got my salvation in my back pocket and I'm going to head on home to glory when it's my time. I don't think that's the tone of this encouragement. He says, folks, it's a wrestling match. We're to strive. Contend. We ought to struggle, grapple with the enemy. You know, these, I don't know if you ever watch Olympic type wrestling or maybe high school wrestling. I've known some wrestlers in my life, and most of the time wrestlers are pretty stout guys. I mean, they may not always be the biggest guy, but they are rock solid. Wrestlers are. I mean, I remember in high school, wrestlers, they have these weight classes. You know what I'm talking about? Wrestlers and weight classes. They have these weight classes, and you know, by the time of their match, they have to weigh in and they have to be a certain weight. So, in a gymnasium, you know, you have wrestling mats. They have these thick foam things, and they roll them out, and they usually have these tarps that cover them. And after gym class, I'd see a bunch of my wrestling buddies. I never did wrestle. I was a twig in high school. I know I'm a little more rounded out now, but I was, you know, 120 pounds soaking wet and full of bananas in 7th and 8th grade. But, you know, I used to watch my wrestling friends, and after they go work out, and they'd do all this exercise, and they'd be getting all sweaty, and then they go and they wrap themselves up in these tarps. I'm like, what are you doing? They're trying to sweat off extra weight, you know, to make weight class. Because they gotta make the class, the different measurements there. But these guys were intense. And they get in the ring and you know, they have their headgear on and they're getting like this. You know, what are they, as soon as they start, what are they gonna do? I mean, they're gonna lay their hands on them. They're gonna grab hold of the opponent. And they're gonna wriggle around and they're gonna try to get themselves into a position to take an advantage. You've all seen grappling, haven't you? Wrestling? Yeah, not the other stuff that's fake. Okay, I'm not talking about those guys. Okay? I'm talking about real wrestling. Alright? It's a struggle. They're contending. They're constantly positioning themselves and grabbing hold and keeping the enemy close to try to gain an advantage. And you know the devil wants to do that with you? He's trying to wrestle with you. But we need to be the ones on offense. Don't just lay back and say, I'm going to try to get away. Get away from me, devil. Why don't you grab hold? Latch on. Contend. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul told the Corinthian church. He says, and now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, in who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Folks, what do you got to do to pull something down? You got to grab onto it. And you got to struggle with it. You can't just sit back and... Man, this world's a bad place. Oh, look at all those things that are going on. Flip, 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 flip. Yeah, I wish God would do something out there. It's a dark world. Well, I wish He'd send some more missionaries over there. Well, I wish our leaders could get saved. Well, I guess, supper ready yet? No? Okay. I mean, come on. You can't just sit back and go through life undaunted. We've got to do something. You say, well, what can I do? Well, Paul says, this is for the pulling down strongholds, this power of God, this mighty weapons that we have of our warfare, they're not carnal. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, pulling down a stronghold. Grab hold, pull it down, struggling, that we're contending. Casting out imaginations. What are you going to do? Cast something out. Let me be careful. Okay, I don't want this book up here anymore, right? What do you have to do? Cast it out. You got to grab hold of it and cast it out. This is all physical actions. We've got to do these things. Wrestle against these principalities, these powers, these rulers of darkness, in this wickedness in this world. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What do you do to bring something in captivity? Here we go again. You got to latch on. You're coming with me. Right? I'm going to put you away. I'm going to lock you up. So we've got to, this is all active. He says, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Oh boy. If he's the father of the children of disobedience, and we are born again unto the father of the children of obedience, then how do we expose that? By being obedient to ourselves. We expose the disobedience of others. He says that this is something we've got to do. Having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that he, as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. It's an invisible enemy. We have a fight to fight. And we've got to latch on and take hold and fight. He says, hey, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils, of the devil. Then he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, when the devil was tempting Christ in the wilderness, he said unto Jesus, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. And guess what? He has set up people in places. Remember when Daniel was praying for the answer of the vision that he saw? And what did the angel, when he finally got there, say to him? That, hey, I was delayed because I was fighting against the prince of Persia. Well, was he fighting against a real prince? No, it was one of the strategic demons that the devil had placed in that area. Folks, this is a real thing. It really does exist. I know it's an invisible enemy. I know it's something we cannot see with our eyes. But open your eyes, just like the prophet's servant had to have his eyes open to see all the host around that was there to help them. Just like Paul's eyes were opened on the Damascus Road. Folks, we've got to open our eyes and see beyond what's really there. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm not fighting against the United States government, but I am fighting against the minions of the devil that have been placed there to ruin this country. Do you think that the devil wants a Christian nation to succeed? I mean, really? Do you think he wants tens of thousands and millions of missionaries to be sent all over the world from this great country? No. Do you think he wants to let freedom ring and liberty be spread across the world? No! Of course he's going to try to destroy it from the inside out. We wrestle. Folks, we've been encouraged to take on this task. You know what Paul says in Romans chapter 8? What shall then we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take your Bibles and turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Don't worry, we're almost done. My whole point today was simply to emphasize the invisible enemy. I think we sometimes can understand the wiles of the devil and focus on his devices. But don't forget to account for the multitudes that he has in his employ to accomplish his task. Paul did not forget it when he told the Ephesians. But even though there is this overwhelming enemy, we're commanded, we're encouraged, we're implored to latch on and to wrestle, to put on the whole armor of God, and to advance strong in the Lord, strong in the power of his might. Be active, not passive, in our lives. Why? Why can we be encouraged to do so? Well, here it is. Look at verse 15. Speaking of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones, is that high places?
Yeah.
Dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You understand? That through Christ, we have the victory. We have the victory. The devil may have his day for a season, but we have the victory in the end. That's why we can fight. That's why we can go forward. That's why we can latch on and grapple as we should, wrestle as we should. Hey, listen, I may lose my, if you will, physical life in the fight for Christ. But I can never lose my spiritual life. I'm safe in his hands. So, guess what? What do I got to lose? Nothing. Nothing. Got nothing to lose. My life is safe in Christ. He goes on and says, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached by to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. What's Paul saying there? I'm wrestling. I'm striving. I'm contending through Christ. And folks, that's my admonishment to you, that there is an invisible enemy. There's a great enemy. An enemy that seems daunting. An enemy that seems impossible. It is principalities, it is powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. But we are victorious in Christ. We got to wrestle. We got to lay hold. We've got to listen to the admonishments of the scriptures. Will we be that church that pushes forward for Christ in this time? You know, all over our country and all over this world, churches are closing its doors. Christians are giving up. People are laying down the armor and the strength of the Lord. I'm not doing that. I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want to put on the whole armor of God. And guess what? If I have to, I'll go under the mat, get down to the weight class I need to be in. Sacrifice a little bit. But I'm going to, when it's time, and that whistle blows, I'm going to be ready. Because I have Christ on my side. And in His strength and His power, when it's time to grab on, I'm going to make my move. I'm going to get myself into position, and I'm taking that enemy down. We're going to move things in this world, folks. We just got to decide that we're going to do it.